We're here to shine a light on the forgotten generation. This is the Modern Gen X Woman podcast, and I'm Jackie Gadeen.
And I'm Amy Bishop. We're business and career coaches who work with women like you. And we are pissed.
You should be too.
Because we have not been seen or heard, and that changes now.
Listen up, because we're going to share with you insights and ideas to make these years our best years.
F you, midlife.
You know that person that seems to be a natural with others? You know, the one that makes people feel comfortable, gets others to follow their lead, and is memorable? While they are probably genuinely a good egg, they rely on their skill of relational intelligence to build rapport, garner trust, and build deep connections. Notice I said skill. Relational intelligence is a skill, and you can build it, increasing your awareness of others and creating deeper connections that allow you to drive influence and impact. In this episode, we're talking more about what relational intelligence is, why it's important, and how you can start to master it too. Hi, Mimi.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Gen X Women podcast. We missed you.
I missed you. Like, I feel like we haven't recorded in ages.
You know what? We haven't skipped a week, but we batched them.
Yes.
So I feel like I haven't talked to you ladies in a while, like live, or what I think is
live,
even though
right.
You're not. And this is dropping tomorrow. So this is truly real time. And it's really exciting. It's an exciting time for us in business. It's exciting for the world because there's lots
Why is it exciting for the world? You tell me.
Because there are so many things that are being introduced. What's happening with AI, what's happening in Congress, what's happening with the election year. It's just all happening at once. I think it's
right.
Interesting.
Well, the election year isn't until next year, but...
No, but it's all starting
it's
now.
It's all starting now. I mean, I don't think we have ever seen... And you know what? This is my prediction for the election. I think it is starting out so early, and there's so many factors that my guess is the people that we think are going to even be nominated for each party, they're not going to be the people that wind up in the general election or the president.
I can't
that's
wait.
That's
a really good prediction, actually.
Yeah. Because we're out way too far, number one, and the prime candidates have too many variables against them that anything could happen.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
It's just, I think it's fascinating. Plus, it's fall, and I love fall. It's my favorite time of year.
Oh, I've got to tell you something exciting.
Oh.
I had my first, I'm very, very, very late to this party, but I'm so excited about it. I had my first Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. And I'm hooked.
I'm not a pumpkin girl, so I'm
enjoying
all the time.
Pumpkin. I like season. And
I don't like nutmeg a lot. That's
oh, I like it. Yeah. You know, if you know me, you know I hate the holidays. Right? I hate any holiday.
Curmudgeon.
I am. I hate holidays. I hate Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, Christmas.
Blasphemy.
It makes me feel stressed out. For some reason, I got to get to the bottom of this. I feel very stressed out by it. With that said, I love the seasons and the ritual behind the changing of the seasons, pumpkin spice being one of them.
Yeah. Well, if you noticed, Mimi, that this weekend I put up all of my fall decorations.
Yes, I did notice.
I love Christmas too, but fall and Thanksgiving is just my favorite because...
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
It really feels so much about family. Although I love Christmas because Christmas Eve, me and all of, we get together with all of my cousins. It's chaos. It's loud. And it's fun because it's really changed. So my daughter, Peyton, is 15 and she's the youngest of all the cousins. So when she was little or before we had her, there was all these young kids. And now it's transitioned to 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, 21. Like, boom, 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 boom. But it's funny because while it's Christmas Eve and it used to be about presents, now it's Christmas Eve and it's about the kids going in the bedroom and sneaking drinks. So it has really changed. But it's fun. It adds a whole nother dynamic to the holiday again and to the tradition.
So I just self-diagnosed myself as you were talking. I was self-coaching in my mind, and I know now why the holidays bother me. Like, so you said it's all about family, and I was like, ugh. And I realized that for me, family means responsibility. And I can't take on one more ounce of freaking responsibility.
We're not going to talk about Mimi's responsibility because...
Can we do an episode, though, about it?
About you walking the day in my shoes? You're going to walk 4 days in my shoes and you might die.
I will die.
She's watched. So Scott and I are heading to Napa in just a couple of weeks. And Mimi is going to be... She always house sits for me over the last like year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah,
she's
fun.
Been my house
it.
Sitter with the dogs and dog sitter. And
I created monsters. So
yes.
The three dogs are like
goodness,
just
out of
control whenever I come over, which
they're
is almost
just
every
out
day.
Of control. And so, but what's funny is that this time, because Scott and I are going to Napa, Peyton's going to stay here. So,
well, I didn't even tell you this. So I'm watching Peyton, who's 15, for like a long, long weekend. And my sister-in-law texted me last night and she's like, can you sleep over and take care of Sophia? And Sophia's my niece who is, she'll be 12. So I'm watching Sophia in a couple, like a few weeks after that. So all of a sudden I've become like the babysitter.
You're the aunt. You're the
yes, the cool aunt. But these kids are a lot cooler than I am.
Well,
so.
I don't know. Peyton's like, Mimi, what are we going to do? Marisa, what are we going to do?
We're all excited.
So poor Marisa. And as you know from listening to the podcast for a long time, if you're a long-term listener, this is not going to be a surprise. If you are new to the podcast, you're going to be shocked. Mimi is an introvert and she needs lots and lots of alone time.
Yes.
So I was a little concerned, but Peyton needs a lot of alone time too.
Yeah, no,
so
we're
going to totally
get along
work
great.
Out.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about what we are here today talking about, which is relational intelligence. And I think about this a lot because everyone talks about emotional intelligence, which is very important. And these do go together. And some people think
some
people, that this is...
Yeah. Some people will lump it together under emotional intelligence. And we should probably do an episode on emotional intelligence. But emotional intelligence, the way we define it, is more about self-awareness and self-regulation.
Yes.
Right? Really critical. Not only the workplace. I mean, the work that we do is really when we work with corporate and we talk about how we can create philosophies or team development or change management using emotional intelligence. However, as humans, emotional intelligence is a fantastic skill to use.
Yes.
Relational intelligence is more exactly how it sounds. It's how you relate to others.
Right. And what do you do in order to build rapport? And I think often people aren't intentional about how they're showing up. And so when you're thinking about this, it's how do you connect and relate to others to establish rapport, to establish trust, to establish a deeper relationship, to establish continuity and camaraderie. And if you think about organizations that are most successful, this is part of their structure and their fabric of the culture, right?
Right.
And so when you're missing this, you're missing the reciprocity, you're missing the trust factor and the psychological safety. And this is part of developing all of those so that the individuals in the company can thrive and then organizations can rely on the collective intelligence of their employees to produce and drive results.
Exactly. So it's like flattening also the hierarchies that have traditionally been in business. And let's be honest, it's a very new concept that corporate is starting to employ because they realize and recognize the importance of relational intelligence. And I will kind of venture out to say it's probably because, I mean, what's making them excited is because they see that it works and that it really gives a big return on productivity and collaboration and longevity. People want to stay there. People get along. They actually like each other, creativity, all of these things. But it's really, and this is not something we've ever really talked about traditionally when it comes to work.
It isn't. And what's funny is that, you know, people always ask us, what is your you know, we do one-on-one work, right? For all of you ladies who've listened to us for a long time, we still do one-on-one coaching. We've always done the leadership consulting, but we've never really talked about it. But now we're in market talking about it a lot. And we get asked this question often, which is, what is your sweet spot? You know, what kind of company do you want to, do you go after and do you look for? And I always think about it. We always talk about it in numbers and the type of company, but as I'm reflecting on what you said, Mimi, I realize that the type of company we want to work for is not a company that we need a two-step sales process for. So let me explain what that means if you're listening to this, which is I don't want to go in and do this work in a company where I have to prove to them the importance of emotional, relational, and linguistic intelligence, because they're only going to be looking at it not working if they feel like they don't get it, right? So it's almost like that negativity bias.
Right. So there has to be an education. So also what she means by the two-step sales process is there needs to be an education, right?
On why it's important. On why it's and important. Then why we're the ones to do it, right? So it's two steps. So my, you know, I don't mind educating, but education is going to be in greater format, and then companies that recognize are the ones that are going to thrive. They're the ones that are going to survive through everything that is happening in business today. You know, you can't turn on the news or CNBC without seeing what's happening at Google or Amazon or tech companies or retail companies or pharmaceutical companies. There is lots of turmoil, and women specifically are leaving corporate America in droves, and we can't afford that. The companies can't afford that. Because as the baby boomers retire, then all of a sudden they're going to have this talent dearth, right? So this really has to be addressed and addressed now. And what, you know, why is this so important? This is not about feeling good. Yes, it's about feeling good, but it's not about feeling good. I want to be clear, right? It really is about numbers. It's about dollars and cents. And here's what I mean by that. Humans thrive on relationship, right?
Correct. We know even this. Me.
Even you.
The biggest introvert in the world who could probably stay on an island with a good book and her dog and her cat for a couple months by herself. Even I need connection.
Right, because our well-being is rooted in connection.
Right. I mean, think about this from a very primal standpoint. You would not survive, like our ancestors would not have survived without a lack of community, even up until a couple of generations ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, like in primal times, you had to have some kind of community. But think of our ancestors who maybe came over, I'm thinking my ancestors, they came over from Italy. They tended to stay in their own communities. They didn't really speak the language. This is how they supported one another, right? They thrived in community. And I think it's very recent where we have kind of gone away from that, where we feel like we don't need community as much, but still it's really built into our DNA.
It is, yes. And when we don't do it, that's when we get people leaving, right? Corporate America. So if they don't feel connected, people stay because they feel connected to the people that they work with. That's where a lot of that loyalty comes from. So if you're not building that connection, or you personally, or the company is not facilitating that, you can have big attrition in the organization.
Well, and this is also where leadership comes in, right? So you really need to build trust so that you are creating an environment of leadership. And this doesn't mean that you have to be a leader in title also, right? When you are able to build connection and trust, this is creating more of a leadership dynamic where people are going to be more bought into your ideas or your concepts, or want to have your back and you have their back. And this is where it really creates this collaborativeness in team building.
In team building. And when teams work together, they thrive. Right. So this is why relational intelligence is so important. And for years, it's lacked because there's been this hierarchical, militant type of leadership and ownership. And there's a new rule for doing business, right? It's empathy, it's vulnerability. Now, I am not saying vulnerability is going into your boss's office and crying every 5 minutes.
No, that's not it.
There may be, right? There may be emotional. There may be some of, There are times that we get emotional. But what I will say is what it really does is it allows people to see you as a human and then want to do more things with you, wants to work harder for you, wants to support you. When we show the good and the bad, it also builds, if your boss actually leans into relational intelligence and talks about their failures, talks about what went wrong, is open to opposing opinions, guess what happens? That builds rapport and that builds trust. And so all of this is really critical. That age of, you know, your boss had to know it all, and you can never let anyone think that you don't, is totally out the window. It's an antiquated way to lead. And if companies are going to be able to evolve the way that they need to, their leadership has to evolve first. And actually from the C-suite all the way down.
Absolutely.
And it has to be consistent. And that's part of
lip service, right? Because how many companies, especially as we came through the pandemic and all of the social unrest that we saw, it became on the forefront that we had to have this more social responsibility. Yeah. And some companies do it really well and some companies check it off as a box. Yeah. And you know what? People know the difference because no one's stupid. So you really want to think this through and think about how this can be something that is very genuine. The other thing I will add is it could take time, right?
It does.
It takes time to evolve. It's not like you're going to go to a coworker, share something vulnerable and expect, you know, that you're going to have this great collaborative.
And it takes time from a corporate perspective.
It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of awareness. One other thing I wanted to add in, especially with the vulnerability piece, is this is where your relational intelligence tied with your emotional intelligence really plays very well. Because when you know yourself, you can self-regulate. So maybe you are being very open and transparent and going to your boss and saying, listen, I'm triggered by X, Y, and Z, or I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z, but also go in there with the awareness of maybe why that's happening. Or
not going in there heightened because you don't have that emotional regulation,
exactly.
Which happens. And look, we all get triggered.
Absolutely.
But this is not about not getting triggered.
Right.
Ladies,
everyone, I've gotten triggered. You know,
I still get triggered at everything.
She gets triggered pretty quickly. I don't, but not as much, but
no,
I do. And I remember there's once I can remember like going into my boss's office, like slamming the door because I had a confrontation with a coworker where I kind of just lost it, which was rare. But again, you know, me going into my boss's office in this heightened way was not really solving anything.
No, it doesn't. And that's, you know, we talk about problem solving versus problem panicking. So
right.
We need to regulate. But when we think about it from a relational standpoint, when we think about going in, it's like one of the biggest things in DE&I is actually not D, E, or I. It's about the B, which is belonging. And people want to feel like they belong. And so when you build in a way of fostering relational intelligence from the top down, it allows people to feel like they belong, even if they look different, even if they speak different, even if they have different ideas or different sentiments or different processes. And that's the beauty of this, right? Embracing the differences because you know that those differences are actually going to propel the business.
Yeah. And I have to say, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, I'm kind of laughing at myself because I used to really early in my career, I used to think of that as a red flag. If people had very different opinions, or I would get, I want to say combative, but I would be definitely not combative, but
self-righteous maybe, or
yeah, self-righteous or kind of like, you know, like feel like, well, what are you trying to tell me? Or that kind of thing. And I'm recognizing now that they were missed learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. And there is no reason to be either frustrated or feel like you've got to be defensive. That's the word I'm using. Defensive around another point of view. Be curious.
Yes. And recognize that this is all for the good of the company and good of for you, right? As an employee or a boss or whatever that looks like. You know, I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about, as you're listening to this and you're like, oh my goodness, how do I do this? I want to talk a little bit about how do you start to build your relational intelligence and your relationships so so that you can feel more connected. And this doesn't have to start at the top. So if you're in middle management and your organization doesn't value relational intelligence, then it is incumbent upon you to figure out how you're going to practice this discipline, and maybe with your team or your coworkers, or even in your family, right? So you can even start at home on how do we communicate better, and how do I do things like recognize the discomfort I might see, and instead of ignoring it or running over it, I'm going to address it. A lot of times we don't want to address it because it feels uncomfortable, but then everyone feels like they're unheard. So we really need to be very conscious of the act that we take after we even see something that doesn't feel right or look right.
Yes.
You know? So the first thing we want you to think about is, how do you show up? All right. And so I have a client who, she's freaking brilliant. But she and I are working together to develop her RQ, right? Her relational quotient. Because the way she communicates is very efficient, effective, process, boom, boom, boom. And people have a hard time relating because they just want to feel warm. They want there to be warmth. And I'm not saying you have to be warm and fuzzy, but you need to be able to communicate in a style that feels open. It's almost like when you're networking and you can choose to talk to somebody face-to-face really close so you don't let people in. Or you can open up your body language a little bit so that you're subconsciously, unconsciously inviting someone who's walking around to join. Right. And that it's that kind of concept.
And a lot of this is subconscious, right? Like the subconscious cues that you're putting out. One thing I'm going to just steer away for 2 seconds and then bring us back. In the intro, Jackie said that this is a skill that can be developed, right? So very often we see someone who's got great relational intelligence and we think, oh my God, I wish I could do that. And sometimes people are naturally good at it and even just don't unaware that it's a skill. Lots of times people that are really successful, especially in leadership or management, that kind of thing, politics, right? Those kinds of people, they have worked really hard to build this skill. So it's a skill that can be taught and learned. And it takes time, but it is not something that you either have or don't have. Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out.
I'm glad you said that. I want to add something that comes up often. You know, we're, if you couldn't tell from the accents,
we're New Yorkers,
right? So we're from New York. We live on, you know, we're both on Long Island. The business is based on Long Island now. But what does that mean? And why am I sharing this with you? It is such a fast-paced environment in New York. Business is fast-paced as it is.
Jackie is fast-paced as it is.
But in New York, it really is so much faster. If you're walking slowly on the street, people are going to walk around you and huff, right? And I know I do that too. But it is just this fast-paced environment. And why am I saying this? It's because sometimes we, whoever we is, right, the people don't want to slow down to ask the right questions or ask the open-ended questions. They just want to get to the result. And when we do that, we miss all of the unpacking and unboxing of great ideas, right? So it's almost like getting a present and you rip right open. Or you can kind of like enjoy the process of unwrapping it. So when you're in a conversation and maybe you're the boss, or yeah, maybe I'm going to say you're the boss, right? And so you have this idea, you put it out there in a meeting, and someone's like, I'm a little concerned about that because I think that this may be a sticking point. You can do one of two things. You can shut them down, which is not relational intelligence, or you can say, tell me more.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that the direction that they're going in or the avenue they're taking you down is the avenue you have to follow and agree with. But what you want to do is you want to open up that dialogue so that the other person gets heard. And when someone feels heard, they feel connected to the outcome, regardless if it was a different outcome or not. So this is science-backed. So the more you can do that, guess what? The more you can get people to buy into whatever the direction is that you want them to go into. And
it's
I wanted
powerful.
To share that. It is really
all
powerful.
By just asking those simple questions. Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, tell me more. I'm curious. What does that look like? What makes you bring that up? What can we do differently? How would that work? Right?
Right.
Things that are open into questions that really get people to...
to think.
And maybe and share. Process and think and share and give people space to process the way they need to, right? So recognize, again, relational intelligence. I know Mimi is an internal processor. I am an external processor. So I will talk something out and I will say to her, I know you need to process it. Let me know what you think mm-hmm. when you're done processing it. But if I tried to process it internally, it's almost like talking it out as like I'm talking to someone, right?
Yeah. And on the flip side, I will tell you a lot of times when you are talking things out, instead of getting overwhelmed, like, oh my God, how are we going to do all this stuff? I will let you process it out knowing that we'll kind of sift it for the gold.
Yes.
Later on. Exactly, so I'm like, right. Okay, I'm not going to worry. I don't have to take action on any of this. Right. Like, even though she's really jazzed up, I'm like, it will settle.
Yes.
And then we'll decide how we're going to move forward.
Right. And we know that. So this is, and you know, again, relational intelligence is understanding the skills and the talents and the processing and the introvert versus extrovert of everyone on your team or everyone you collaborate with. Because when you take the time to do that and to understand them, guess what? You then show up very, very differently. So we did leadership training recently for a big tech company. And in the leadership training, we started breaking down individuals so that they can come together and work more succinctly together. And one of the people in the group actually works remotely. And in this conversation, she said that she grew up with never feeling like she belonged, but I got over that. I did therapy and she like, you know, kind of brushed
minimized it.
Meanwhile, the rest of the team was like, oh my gosh, that's why she gets so upset anytime we're brainstorming together and she hasn't even gotten to the office yet. So it's only through really being curious about how other people operate can we establish relational intelligence or expand our relational intelligence. One of the other biggest things that we see is being able to read the room. And I have to tell you how poorly people are. Either they don't read the room and they keep going, or they misinterpret every single cue.
Mm.
And both of those are quite dangerous, right? So if you're talking in a meeting and people are tuning you out, you're wasting their time, you're losing their respect, you're losing their trust.
Their buy-in,
right? We need to be very aware. And so by reading the room and responding to the room, I don't care if it's you and one other person across from a table, if it's you in a conference room or it's you on the stage, you must read the room. And if you struggle with it, then you pause and you get a pulse of the room. And you do it verbally because that's how you get people to buy in.
Right. Now, as you said that, I love that, you know, do it verbally. And so can you give me an example of what that might look like? Like, I would say something like, is everyone tracking with me? What questions do people have? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't like to do, is everyone tracking or am I clear or does that make sense? I don't like to do that because all of a sudden people are like...
on the defensive more.
Or just afraid to share. So what I always encourage people to say is, I'm going to pause here because I want everyone to process and I'd love to get your thoughts on how this is going, what we've talked about thus far.
Love that.
Because now what you're doing, right, we know this from all the neuroscience that we've studied, is that changing the energy in any conversation at least every 15 minutes is a game changer. So if you're talking and you're not changing the energy by asking a question or getting buy-in or going around the room, you're losing people. So by doing this, it gets everyone to check in. And then the person that may not have understood or may have felt like they were swimming really fast to keep up, if someone asks a question, there's clarification. So it really, again, builds camaraderie in a way for other people as well.
Yeah.
One of the other things that are really powerful, if you're listening to this, is, and I'm sure you've heard this, but it's this concept of mirroring and parroting.
Because we have mirror neurons in our brain. We have mirrors in our brain.
We do. And we want to reflect what we see. And so if you're paying attention, you should be following the small little nuances that other people are putting out if you want to connect. So if they are I'm a really high energy person. I'm never going to change that, right? It's who I am. But if I'm across the table from someone who is feeling, if I see them leaning back in their chair, if I see them feeling a little tense because I'm so high energy, I need to adjust my approach. That's relational intelligence. And it's still being true to yourself, but it's recognizing that a relationship is giving someone what they need as well.
Right.
Not just what you need.
So this brings to mind when I was in coaching school, we had a, you know, you do mock coaching with one another. And this is one guy who I liked him a lot. He had tremendous energy, big guy, jolly guy, tremendous energy. And he would start all of his coaching like, hey. And one thing he got called out on was to be mindful of the person who he was coaching. So this is when we were doing like practice coaching with one another. Because sometimes people come into a coaching situation where they are feeling maybe lower in energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're having an off day.
Yeah.
And you have to pick up on that if someone, even if they typically are high energy, some days I come here and Jackie's energy is off and I could tell either she's tired or maybe she's worried about her mom or something's going on. So that will allow me to say, like, what's going on?
Yeah. And you know, also very aware.
So being aware, right. And so being aware of someone else and where they're at energetically will allow you to meet them and create that trust and connection point.
Yeah.
But that's what mirror neurons are all about. As an example, do you ever find yourself across from someone who's nodding a lot? And then you find that you're nodding a lot, right? That's the mirror neurons working.
Yeah, that's
the mirrors in our brain.
That's absolutely true. And what it does for the person across from us
makes them feel connected.
Makes them feel connected because we as humans like to be surrounded by people that look like us. And what I mean by look like us, it's not a physical look, but that are like us. It's just how humans are because it's where we're most comfortable.
Safety.
But it's not where business is successful. And
no.
That's a different conversation. You know, as I'm thinking about this, I'd love to ask you, if you're listening to this, to ask yourself how many of you are truly intentional about how you want to show up in the workplace and in your relationships. Do you ever think about it? And if you haven't really thought about it, we want to challenge you to think about, like, what are your core values? What's really important to you? And how does that come across? What is really the thing that makes you stand out in a relationship? And how do you create better rapport with people? And, you know, when you go into a meeting and you go in with this, oh, every time I'm in a meeting with Sally, she talks too much. That's exactly what you're going to see. And that's right. So if you set the intention to say, I know Sally talks a lot, I am going to do whatever I can to help keep her on track. That's an intention. And guess what? You're going to help her. You're going to help her even if she doesn't consciously know that.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Because you're going to make her look good by keeping her on track. Or you're going to say, Sally, can we bring back to this point? Because I want to make sure that we can get to this because I know this is really important to you. Right. And then put it back to them. So really being intentional is critical.
I think being intentional in general, it's a lost art and skill and something I know that I'm working on.
I think we all are, right? We all get into our patterns and we don't think about different things. And you know, Mimi's really good about intention when it comes to going into a meeting, right? So I used to do this a lot in sales, like, okay, what is the intention? What are we trying to do? What do we want to touch on? And I don't do that as much now, but Mimi's really good. She's like, okay, what do we want to do? What's our intention for this meeting? What's our intention for this conversation? It really gets us to be focused. And so just doing that in every, my intention is to share my ideas. My intention is to show how creative I am. My intention is to get their buy-in on this or their feedback on this project. What is that intention? And be very specific about it and say it before you meet anybody.
Right.
Right. What's my intention?
Right. And it may change based on the conversation, but at least you go in there focused. And one intention that I always really try to mentally prepare myself for is how can I be a value of the person sitting across from me?
Yeah.
I mean, that really shows that you're interested, and it also will bring you to the next thing that we're going to talk about, which is really actively listening,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you go into a meeting or a circumstance where you are intentional about being of service to someone else, that's going to force you to really actively listen.
Yes.
So you can hear where they may be struggling or need some support, and then you can go in there and give value.
Yeah, and so you want to listen to listen, not listen to respond. And most humans are thinking about what they're going to say because we're self-centered beings, right? We're thinking about what we're going to say.
Some people more than others.
Yeah, but everyone is to some degree, yeah. Right? So we need to absorb it and we need to acknowledge it. We need to validate it. And then sometimes we don't have to say anything, right? Be comfortable in that silence. Sometimes someone's sharing something with you just because they need to, and they don't want you to solve their problem. They just want someone to talk to. And if you can decipher the difference, you're going to build your relationship, and that's relational intelligence. Also recognizing your personal body language and cues and what that looks like. So I'll never forget this story,
Is this your interview?
No, it was a different interview. So I interviewed this guy to work at Ad Age. Alex, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. And I interviewed him and he did a really good job. But after he presented, he sat back in his chair and crossed his arms and waited for us to ask him questions. And so after we went through everything, I said, really liked the presentation. It was really good. I said, but I want to tell you, regardless if we move forward with you or not as a candidate, I highly suggest that you don't lean back and cross your arms, because you went from being engaged to now it's, if I was a client, I'd feel as though you weren't open to my input. I would feel as though you are trying to pull a power play. And he was like, oh. And so he talked about that for years. He's like, should I not cross my arms? But he didn't. He stopped doing that.
Right.
And again, it's the how I interpreted it, but this is how most people would interpret it, right? So you have to really be aware. And if you're not sure, ask someone.
Right.
Hey, I'm really trying to work on my physical cues and my body language. Can you let me know how this looks? If my eyes are darting,
right,
or if I am
no eye contact,
tapping my pen. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes people just need to move, and you can do that, but you have to do it in a way people don't see, because it looks like you're impatient, right?
Right.
So while you might just be a fidgeter, other people might be like, she's fidgeting or he's fidgeting because he's impatient with where I'm going. And so, if I fidget, how do I do that so someone doesn't see? I roll my pen under the table, so I'm just moving my hand, right? So
right.
Ask the people that you trust to take a look at your body language and give you feedback.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So we touched on this a little bit in the beginning. We talked about being vulnerable. And what does that look like? That could be like, it doesn't mean you have to share your life story. It could say something like, Jack, and I've done this before with you. Jackie is a sales master, right? And I'm new in my skill of selling the past couple of years, but Jackie's been doing this her entire career. So very often I will say, I'm not as experienced, or in my mind, I'm like, I'm not as experienced as Jackie. I'll say, Jackie, I would love your point of view with this. How would you go about this conversation?
Yeah.
Right?
Because
being very open and honest, I don't have the 25 years experience she does.
Yeah.
I have 5 years of experience.
And
so why not, be
yes.
open about that?
And we've built such trust. I love this, because we've built such trust that even when, so recently she sent a follow-up email
yes.
to somebody. And I said to her, from now on, when you send the follow-up email, please put in there, can we schedule a follow-up on these this date?
Be more direct.
Be more direct. And she was like, oh. And because she trusts me, she knows where that came from.
Right.
Just trying to make her better. Just like when she says to me, Jackie, you made a mess of this file. When we do this, can you put it in here? Yes, I know. Or Jackie, don't say that when we're presenting, because it kind of feels off-putting. Great. So
right.
that's what
it's
we do.
That
we
kind
build
of,
trust.
But it's trust, right? It's not me pointing out to be... oh, I'm better,
mm-hmm.
right? It's pointing out to make us better. And also, again, it's creating the space for her to say, I know that I struggle with X, Y, and the details. Jackie's not a detail person,
no.
right? I'll go in there and clean up the details. And she relies on me that, right? To go in there and really just look at the nitty gritty stuff, because she's the big idea person.
Yeah, so I'll put something together and I'll say, okay, I did my first draft. Can you go in and... add to it because I know how she thinks, right? So if I do an outline, then I give it to her. Like, and that's the relational intelligence. So when you're thinking about the people that you surround yourself with, how are you making each other better? How are you trusting each other? How
and
are you
trusting, building that? Right, that's the end result. And I think a lot of times we've been trained as humans to go in there and like protect your assets. I want, like, you know, don't tell people where your shortcomings are, but
don't ask for help.
But I believe that that's really held us back. And the new way of doing business is being open and collaborative. We're going to see a lot more of this. We need to lean into it, especially of those of you who are listening to this, who maybe used to the old rules of business, right? So this is a new concept. And the last thing I just want to touch on really quickly, because I think we need to do an entire episode on this, is the idea of embracing differences and differences of opinions. I used to get so annoyed when people would be like, let me play devil's advocate. I'd be like, oh, give me a break. Actually, there is so much goodness there. Yeah. You want to really unpack different points of views for a variety of reasons. I think we should talk about that in a lot more detail in another episode. But what I want to leave with for this episode is to really embrace differences as a good thing or neutral. They don't have to be a negative thing.
Right. And don't think of them as threats. And sometimes there is an intention behind it. Let's be clear. Yeah. Sometimes there is an intention behind it. Someone is trying to make you look bad because there are people that are just jackasses, right?
Yes. There are lots of jackasses out there.
However, if you are very intentional and you ask questions, you're still going to look like the hero, right? I say this to my daughter all the time. It's like how you respond is going to make a bigger difference than what they said. Even if they're not nice, if you respond not nice, you're going to look like a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Or you might be the only one that looks like a jerk, right? It's the same type of thing. So keep that in mind. So if you or your company really needs to up their relational intelligence quota, right? Or their relational quotient, give us a call. We're happy to come in and talk to you about what that looks like and how we can support your organization to be prepared for the evolution and for building successful businesses. So until then, cheers to your magnificence. Modern Gen X Woman is the podcast created with you in mind. If you're inspired by this episode, please leave us a review. It's so important. Look, we know it's not easy for you to stop and go over and leave a review, but it is so appreciated by Mimi and myself, and it really helps other amazing Gen X women like you find us, so that they too can become the modern Gen X woman.